August 1971. Channel 2 over. Channel 2 right, and the beginning of the visit with Mr. Weaver this Sunday. Sunday the 8th of August 1971. Channel 2 right, and beginning the visit with Mr. Weaver this Sunday the 8th of August 1971 with Suzanne and Jim. Channel 2 right, and the beginning of the visit with Mr. Weaver this Sunday the 8th of August 1971 with Suzanne and Jim.
Got my broom around that cord. I just take it off over there, and I'll read them this.
Why, Mr. Weaver? Well, can they be fixed?
Well, the best way to fix them is buy you a new pair. That's the way I usually do. You know, I can do a little work on them, but you send them in. Time you send them in and come back, and which if someone didn't use them very much, you know.
Then pay to have them.
You could, well, you don't use your clippers very much. How are you today? What's the matter at hand?
I really think it's you know, that's what I was thinking, Mr. Weaver, while y'all was talking. The best way to fix them would be just to buy some new ones.
That's right.
That's awful, isn't it?
Yeah, and what I'm trying to do is to buy, if you don't get a pretty good pair, they won't last you. They don't last no time. These here cheap ones you get out of store. $8, $10, $15, they ain't no good.
Yeah.
You've got to pay about at least $25, $30 to get them. 50 and 60 is what the barbers pay for.
Oh, really?
And I guess some of them 75 now.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
they have high class machinery, don't they?
Yeah, well, you get in there and you figure out how you would you make that there.
Yeah.
And keep it running. I can do quite a bit on them, but this year setting them, and these are just medium price. These ain't the high price clippers here, and they last a long time. But any of them, if you drop them, you mess them up.
Oh yeah.
Of course, you can if you pay $50 and $60 for them, if they just send them back to the factory and let them fix them for you.
Mr. Weaver, you know I'm surprised at you on one thing.
What's that?
You tap that over on this side and just let that cord stay here with this walkway.
Yeah. Well, I have to watch that all the time myself, or I'll get my foot hung in it.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
See, the cord like now over at the house, we all got that fixed there and just back up to it, you know, and pull it from the wall this way.
Yeah. Nobody walk on.
Well, I said I can set it just any way I want to. But it's always my fault when I don't look at that part. I don't blame nobody about that.
I
don't think they're going to work. I haven't got them exactly true yet. I've tried and tried, but somehow or another,
I wouldn't even do that. What you did see, I put this
chair here.
Yeah.
Well, the way it is over there, I so used to, and it'll be back kind of in the corner, and no one walks there but me, and I'm going to have to watch if I'm not.
Let me tell you something before I forget it, talking about being careful. I was down there yesterday, and Miss Daisy was out there, was out there hoeing out the crabgrass in her flowers. And you know, it had been a long time since I had seen one of the colored people hoe or actually work.
Yeah.
Why, you know, she had taken a couple of strokes that away and reach over. And you know how they can bend over without it hurting them?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
They can just do that all day.
Don't bother them.
Don't bother them. Do it just good as they stand up. And she'd pull that grass, you see, and she'd get a long strand of Bermuda. You know how it runs.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't worry, huh? She just pull on it.
Well, they take their time, and we get
and
in a hurry.
it'd break somewhere.
Yeah.
But she didn't worry about it. And I thought to myself, somebody pulled up out there in the car, and she kind of kept on hitting this easy, you know, and looking out there. And she was so many trees in the way, she couldn't see. But she kept trying. see who it was. And yeah. Finally she says, that's just Clyde's wife. And she went on.
Went on to work.
Yeah.
Well, they, you know, they're superstitious anyway about anybody coming up or watching them do anything.
There ain't anybody, you see. Nobody. Nobody pushing her.
No. And they just take their time and they go ahead, but they do a lot of work, don't they?
They do a lot of work.
But we get in a hurry and then we mess up something and have to come back again. They're like high cutting. They're like I tell you all about high cutting. I take my time. I don't. It don't matter how big a hurry people got in.
Yeah.
Because the barber is the best barber I ever seen. Barber. He took his time and took in $4 or $5 a day more than anybody else did. I've never worked in a barber shop. I didn't do the same thing.
Yeah,
and I learned from this barber there in Carbon Hill, Alabama.
Yeah.
And you can learn more like that than you can reading about it. It's hard for you to read it and remember it all, but when you see it and impress it and get it on your mind real good, you'll keep that.
Oh, yeah. You don't even have to remember it.
No, you got it on your mind. And that fellow looked like he just go along cutting this way and that. There's a gabbing it and going over three or four times. He went over one time and it looked just like it grew that way.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Now that picture right there that you see, he cut my hair.
This fellow?
Yeah, I forgot. I wouldn't even tell that.
I want you to see this, Jim. Mr. Weaver is going to throw that. I found that in the trash can.
Now then,
you're going to throw that away?
I found it in the trash can, but I don't know whose it is. That's what I told her.
How old are you then, Mr. Weaver?
I was about, I believe I was just past 22. I was 21 and 17th.
Goodness.
1917 and had to register to go in service the 5th of June.
Jim, don't you take pictures?
Yeah, my horse.
Now, when I had that picture, made.
That's right.
When I had that picture made, I was going over to Boston, Alabama, to play baseball. And I went over and played with a coal miners league, you see, when that picture's made. Of course, I was a whole lot heavier then. I weighed about 150. I only weighed about 125 or 30 now.
Yeah.
I've lost a lot of weight there. I got backed up about 2 years ago.
Now, this haircut,
that's the way he cut it. And you see how he left it there? Of course, I wanted to have it cut. It needed cut and then, but the man, he told me it looked better to not have it cut. Not fresh cut.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it was ready just as I usually had it cut every 2 weeks. Well, up to about 2 years ago, I never did go over two weeks without a haircut. Oh, ever since I'd ride a horse 8 miles to town on Saturday afternoons and get my hair cut.
Yeah.
And I wanted that same barber to cut it, you know. And I started taking barber's lessons then.
Now, what'd you say you had that suit made out of?
That's the best grade of French serge suits.
French serge.
You remember those? Don't know. They may have never seen them.
No, they have seen a
real French serge.
Oh,
but it's jeans,
Mister. Just jeans.
Jeans.
Is that the one you got before you went in the army?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went over there and we played one game of baseball, and the fellow wanted to bet me $25. I couldn't get a hit off of it. And see, I was a new man that they got out of another county, you know, over there. I played second base that day. I could play anywhere. It didn't make any difference to me, pitch or play anywhere. And so I got 7 trials on second and got every one of them. And I wanted a home run so bad, every time I struck at the ball, I hit for a home run. And I fouled one, and I'm left-handed, and I'm fast with a bat. And I pulled 2 or 3 long ones curved out right at first base. About 7 or 8 balls I fouled, then struck out. Second time I went to the bat, the same thing happened again. I had a way of stepping in, and see, we have 6 feet in now. You can step the plate, be here. You can step up this way if you want to.
Yeah.
The slow ball pitcher, I'd step up. And they bragged about him having so much speed, I got back this way, and that's the reason I was pulling those balls too far.
Oh.
So they'd have been over the fielders if I hit a struck too quick and pulled them out. So the third time I went to the bat, I decided that I was batting too fast. And I said, I'm going to step up. And I stepped up a little bit of past the plate, not way up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I placed one between right and center for a double. Well, that had won me $25. Fourth time I went to the bat, I hit it. When I hit it, I didn't even look for it anymore. I knew where it was going. And I got, he struck me out twice, and I got a double and a home run off of him.
You mean you could feel it?
Oh, yeah, I can tell. When you hit just about 4 inches, and you hit it right straight. You hit that way.
Yeah.
Some hits this way, and like that, you get too many pop-ups. You hit him straight in the face. You keep your eye and mind on that ball and never let it get off and not think where you're going to throw it, you hit. If you get to trying to hit a bat before you think you're going to throw it, that ball may go a foot or 2 feet from that.
You just
you
got to keep your eye on that ball.
You got to keep your eye on the ball, and I kept myself this way and relaxed. I was small. You couldn't believe it. I could hit a ball as far as any of them, but the way I did it, I'm relaxed all the time.
Yeah.
So just as that ball hits my bat, when I do, I got a good grip. That grip in your hand had a lot to do with it. I'd grip that ball and put my whole weight against it. I stepped in it this way, come up this way, and I hit it that way.
Yeah.
And my weight give me a lot more pressure on the ball, and it'd go farther. Well, they'd wonder how a little fella like I was could hit a ball so far. It wasn't that I stood up there like grandstand and tried to twist this way and hit like that.
Yeah.
They won't go nowhere. You got to put everything in.
Yeah, get your weight in.
And if you get it and grip your hands just as you hit the ball, and you hit it about 4 inches from the end of the bat and center, you'll just keep going that way. I hit one over here at Hawthorne after I came to Florida, playing with that railroad league. So far, they never did go and look for it, and it curled out as a foul ball. And 2 weeks later, the fella plowing peanuts or he is doing something in the peanut patch way back over and found that ball.
And he brought it in and showed it to you.
Huh? No, I didn't ever see it, but the Glenn Giger up here at Makinopa was playing. We played with the league. He played all the time. I didn't. Because I was working, you see, and I couldn't just take off for 2 days, you know, and lose $10 a day. Of course, I was having to use my car, you see, but they paid for the gas and hotel bill and everything like that, and I couldn't take off. They wanted me to work or play all the time, but I went over and played that time. And that was a 210-pound left-handed lead pitcher got drunk, and they kicked him out of the big lead just pitching against us. They went over there that day. They went over there that day and the game before and shut Hawthorne out 4-0.
Shut them out.
And we shut them out that day 5-0. But we got some different players, you see, to come in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Glenn Giger up here, and I was leading batters that day. We got 5 scores, and I got 2 of them. And Glenn happened to come behind me, you see, and we understood running bases together. If they didn't watch, the man on first, man on second, he'd run off for first, you know. We either one of us run off for first, you know. Well, the first baseman, authority, and then see us, we're out there. Well, when he did that, the other one's gone to third, and we'd slide in. We did never get through that. And we'd take it till they got on to it and got watching us. And we'd played together, see, ever since I'd come to Florida. He wasn't near grown then, but he was a good ball player then. And we, most all the time, I played second, he played short. And we both was pitchers, we both pitched. He pitched more after I came to Florida than I did. Come ahead, let me get. I'm talking. Who's going to get a haircut first?
I want to see one more photograph. That one that Miss Guthrie liked.
Oh, go ahead and look at it.
Where that is.
No, it's a big one.
It's a large one.
Yeah, I know. It's in here, I think.
No, it's got a frame on it.
I want to show you.
Where has it?
Oh, here it is. Right. Here's one she's
that's
talking
the one
about.
She likes.
Here's one. That's one.
Oh, this is.
That's an old one way back
here.
Yeah,
this is.
I have quite a few different kinds, but here is a picture that hurts me. Here's the starting of these dogs I got up here. That dog never runs. It was 2 years old, and I bought it, and she I soon had it running. I raised all of them. She's a registered dog.
Mr. Weaver, where'd you get that hat?
That hat?
Yeah, where'd you get that?
Oh, way back then, I wasn't about 17 or 18 years old when that hat was made. Mm. That picture's made. That's a sorghum cane patch.
Oh, and you just buy a hat like that in the store?
Yeah. After I came to Florida, then they came back in style again, and we wore those little straight brim hats then.
Yeah.
Yeah, Suzanne been talking about that hat. Let me see, Suzanne. What kind of hat is that?
That's a regular old straw hat we used to have here. But after we came to Florida, I paid $4 for a hat that came from, Belgium, and I believe it was, as made on that same style.
Mm-hmm. We just call that an old straw hat.
We call it. Just
it's so common.
Dress straw
and
hat.
And some of them had that little soft Panamas with a brim.
Well,
flap a little bit, you know.
Well, you see, then when after I came to Florida, I wore Panama hats practically all the time.
Oh, did you?
For a dress hat, I wore Panama, but they're cheap in the long run. You wear them 3 or 4 or 5 years,
yeah.
And you got to take care of them.
Yeah. All
they just don't wear out. And I'd buy those, and I'd just send them there. I'd send them to the hatter up there in Gainesville, New York hatters, to get them cleaned.
Huh.
And one day I got caught, and it's going off, and my hat, I'd got the grease on it, and it had to be cleaned, and I didn't have time. I took my shaving brush and I went out there and took shaving soap and I washed that hat off real good and I put it out in the sun and set it, watch it and keep setting it back with my hand, you know. And left a little bit of soap and didn't get wash all the soap out. And you know, when it dried out, it said just as good as it did at the hatter's up there. From then on, I could wear a Panama and it didn't cost me nothing.
It didn't
take it about 30 minutes to dry.
Yeah.
And I'd have to watch it, you know, go back, but then put a little wrinkle in it, you know, it wasn't right. And you could just keep it as dried out and keep that push back. And he'd just set right back just like they'd put on those steam heat up there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And that saved me $1. I was paying $1 every time I had my hat cleaned.
Yeah. You know, I just thinking, the only thing a Panama does is they get dirty, yes, but they also fade from one year to another.
Well, if you use that Colgate shaving soap on them, they won't fade.
Oh.
No, sir, they don't fade. What it is that you let them go too long and let what you get them dirty with, but then the oil or grease in there, it sets in there and it don't wash out either.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to take care of that. You got to
watch
that.
Fella had a little brush, you know, and just.
Yeah. Well,
see,
I did that. If I happened to get a little something on my hat when I came in, I did that with that soap, you know, that one spot, you know, and get that off right then, you see.
Yeah.
And you can do a lot of things that way if you just stop and figure. But it's not, you do a lot of figuring that you make a mistake on, too. I did. I made a lot of mistakes on those things.
Hey, Suzanne, what were you telling us, those parties?
Oh, yeah. Did you wear a suit like this for those parties, those dances?
Yeah, that's a French serge there.
And you dress up like that?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was?
Everybody dressed up there.
Take your coat off when you got hot.
Yeah, you take your coat off and dance that way. If you was a square dancing, it didn't take long to get hot square dancing. Some of them. Did you all ever dance that and as walk a potato vine around the last couple?
Mr. Beaver?
That's the crookedest thing that you ever seen, and walking, dance all kind. I couldn't do it now, but I used to call it and walk it and lead it and everything.
Walk the potato vine?
Around the last couple.
Well, how'd they do that?
I can't explain it to you, and it's not so hard to learn, but it is good. And if they get all of them get to them, and they just wind all around there, and everybody's still dancing as they're going on around.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And I guess you have, haven't you?
Mr. Weaver, let me tell you, I'm a little bit backward. I'm a little modest, timid when I was growing up.
I had to get out of it.
Mr. Weaver, you said you'd get out and dance by yourself from the floor. What'd you call that?
Buck
dancing. Oh, that's buck dancing.
Buck dancing.
Charleston, you dance by yourself.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, I was up there in Gainesville, and I stopped to get a Coca-Cola, and there's beer joint. And they was all playing in there and dancing, some of them was, you see. And after a while, I didn't think anybody knew that, you know. I got up on the floor in the Charleston just a little in. So, by the way, this lady walked up and said, come on, I'll Charleston with you.
Ah.
I said, no. I knew that she knew what she was doing. I didn't. I could just Charleston. I never did practice much, you see.
How'd it go, Mr. Weaver?
Huh?
I never seen
it. How'd Charleston?
Well,
yeah.
you just start this one.
Oh, yeah.
You start easy.
Yeah.
And you just keep all kind of different steps in motion in.
Yeah.
Of course, you got to practice it. Well, see, since my legs is in the shape they are on the feet,
you did
I can't use my, I can't use them.
Yeah, but would there be a couple of fellas out there?
Well, sometimes one in Charleston by itself, or there can be more than one in Charleston.
Yeah.
But they have to stay separated. Because, man, you saw your feet, your position and all like that, and do it fast. And jitterbugging, I never did do that. That came out later after I had quit and wouldn't even try. I didn't, that's kind of like Charleston, though, jitterbugging is.
You mean you just didn't keep on dancing? You got enough of it and quit?
Well, I quit because,
you had got sick there in the city.
Yeah. Well, I had an ulcerated stomach, and I was sick for a long time in the 30s, but I'd been quit sometime then. They got to where, you know, some of them would come in and be bad, you know, and start rough stuff, and I said, you know, it's a good time for me to quit right now, and I said, I'll never dance no more, and I haven't.
Seems a shame.
That's right.
I said, well, I've been to them a lot of times when they'd come in that way. Well, see, anybody come in and done that, or drinking and things like that, somebody went to them to call them out and told them to go home.
Well, now,
and they had to go,
but
too.
But you didn't dance at public places. It was just around people's houses.
Back then, most of people's houses. Of course, they'd go to fairs, you know, and things like that, you know. They had 49 counts before you danced in as a fairs, you know.
They had what?
They called them 49 counts. That, as you know, to make big names or something like that.
Yeah.
To make people want to go and see what it is, you see.
Mm.
Well, I'd go in there and dance a little bit, you know, maybe at the fair. And they had a big dance up here at Woman's Club. And there's a fella, he was old. He was very smart, older than I was. I can still dance pretty good. You've got to practice your dance.
Yeah.
So we kept watching. I watched him dancing in there. And by the way, I felt I could dance every step that I'd ever heard of. And dance it just right. Nobody else couldn't. After a while, and the dancing for the two best ones, you know, won the prize. After a while, I walked around and I said, come on, Claude. I said, let me dance with you one time. I said, you go ahead and lead. That son of a gun knew 145 different steps. I said, you go ahead. I said, you lead. I said, I'll follow you. And we won the prize. me and the man that won the prize.
Yeah.
And,
how about that?
That was at a fair where they had a prize?
Yeah, they're giving the prize one with club taking up, you know,
yeah.
So they could
mm-hmm.
make a buy in a place, and we were all trying to help them. We'd do anything and reason, you know, to help, you see.
Yeah.
And so that was good. That fella beat anything dancing. I never had seen nobody dance like he could.
But that
I'm not kidding you.
That wasn't down here.
Yeah, I was up here in Micanopy after I came to Florida.
At a fair.
Woman's
club, yeah.
And one time, I'll tell you another thing my big mouth got me into. There's Mr. Johnson, Professor Johnson, is teaching school in Micanopy here. And we used to have a great school there, you see. It should have never went down. And he is the principal. And he is in the barbershop. They're talking about that they had one act that they wanted something to fill in between, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't get it. I said, well, Mr. Johnson, I said, I'll tell you what to do. I said, you train some of them to preach a Negro sermon. in between the acts. So I told him to. That'd be good, you know, you're there in the barbershop, you know, and you got to always try to help out, you know, when you're in business or
yeah.
anything like that. So here come Mr. and Ms. Johnson, they couldn't get nobody, knew anything about it, come on me to do it for. And I didn't have time. I had a lot of fellas working for me, you know, and I didn't have time to practice it, did it? Then, it's funny. Maybe I can think and go with a little bit now, but I practiced as I was driving, buying furs a little bit.
Oh.
And I didn't get to go down to the auditorium and practice one time.
Yeah.
And did the wrong thing. I went out and the school was playing a game of baseball and they wanted me to umpire and I called the game and the wind from the northwest made me so hoarse and I couldn't hardly talk. I went to the doctor and got him to give me some medicine to try to clear my voice up a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I went on down there, and the way it starts off, maybe I can go with A, B, C, I see. Yeah, I'll take my texts and two-page old blue-black spelling book.
Yeah.
And says it starts kind of like this. I had to talk, you know, but I can talk. I can't always speak my words now on account of my teeth, you know. I says, A, B, C, D, E, and I had two or three to sing, and they're one of them singing a different song, you know. That made it more common. And I says, it started off kind of like this. Says, I take my text to the two to two page in the old blue back spelling book, and it reads kind of like this: A B C D E F G H I J K L M N O P Q R S T U V W X Y Z. A B C D E F G H I J K L M N O P Q R S T U. I can't go as fast, you know. I can't work my lips right. I can't talk yet.
That's it.
And just get louder and louder and louder. Then they all got to shouting, you see. I had
yeah.
them shouting.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, I says, when I went to pray for this old Negro, you see, I says, oh Lord, have mercy on this poor Negro and poor Cassine on his head and set him on fire. And that we didn't have too long now. I had to make it kind of short, you see, and that was the prayer, you know, I made for him.
Well, when did you ever get the idea of that nigger preaching, Mr.?
Well, I'd heard someone talking about a nigger preaching that, you know, I mean, preaching, and then I had to figure it out. I'd have never heard it, you know, but I heard someone say that they preach a nigger sermon.
Yeah.
And I just heard him say a little bit, and I made it all up myself, you see.
You never had heard a Negro preacher?
Beg your pardon?
You never heard a Negro preacher?
Oh, yeah, I've heard him preach.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The reason I could go like him, you see.
Sure.
Oh, you had to make it rhyme like the Negro, you see.
Yeah.
And and between the acts, we was all going to black a face, but they're in the next act, and they wouldn't have time to get ready for it.
Yeah.
And we had just turned the lights down till it was kind of dark back there, and they say like we was Negroes, you see.
Oh,
really?
Oh, you did? You did that too?
Yeah. And we was going to black a face and be Negroes. Well, I had on, you know, one of these old sharp tail coats back there, those sport coats, cross tails.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the way I was dressed that night. Well, one of those standing, I had some old standing collars that just tipped down here.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my tie on, a big long high, like that in that picture in there.
Yeah.
Only
mm-hmm.
a little bit higher, but it just pointed right here, and your tie showed all the rest of it, except
yeah.
just enough to hold it there. And that's the kind of tie I had some that I'd saved. Something got in there, some kind of insect in my trunk, and I didn't notice it, and I had some I was keeping like that right there. I was going to bring them over and show them to you all, and they done eat them up.
Oh,
the mite got in there, some
oh,
kind
yeah.
of a, and I had my mother and five generations of pictures, and I'd say if it didn't eat all off but just part of it, eat my mother plumb off of it, pictures and everything. My sister's down, and her husband, and it's their children, and they're on the picture. She's 4 years older than I am,
mm-hmm.
and they're down here not long ago. And
those old mites, just keep at it and nibble it all.
Roaches or anything, any of the little old ants will get in there and do that. Little old termite ant gets in there if you don't watch them and keep
treating. Well, they'll do it too?
Yeah. Yeah, and you'd be surprised what all will get in there if you don't look after it. And when I was sick and I was so sick at that time, I didn't look after it, and I decided
yeah.
I'd go and look. Pass off the time a little bit, go down my trunk and look down in there and everything eat up. I had stacks of Social Security where I'd paid in that high of different companies, and so they didn't go back to but just 57.
Yeah.
And all this high that I built up my Social Security on, I lost all of that.
Oh.
And I like two units have enough to draw Social Security and all that I paid in.
Mr. Weaver, when you were back in those, I think about those dances that you called. Did you ever play anything? What kind of music did you have?
Well, we had violins and guitars and banjos.
Yeah.
That's about the kind of music we used at that time.
You never did play an instrument.
I played violin some, but I danced most of the time. My oldest brother played some, and the other fellas, you see. Because I could call, you had to have someone could call, you know, and a lot of them wouldn't try to, wouldn't practice it.
Oh,
wouldn't
they?
You could play the fiddle just with yourself.
Here's what run me about, this finger got cut off and I never could use that. That's your main finger.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to use these three, and guitar, I couldn't play it at all.
But you
played the fiddle with your
fiddle and pick a banjo, I could
yeah.
do it. They didn't have but four strings, and I could take those three fingers and fill in, you know, the note with, and I
mm-hmm.
couldn't use this one at all. If I could use that, and I could have played anything.
I
could take a sacred song and get up at the organ, you see. I could put the book up there and take my violin and play a sacred song right along with that.
Oh, really?
And,
did you play from the book?
Oh yeah, I played from the roof. Just take it just like I was saying it, you know.
Yeah.
And just say, but this arm, I got this out several times and got to where it hurt me so bad, you know, I just quit. Now,
Mr. Weaver's violin sort of tricky to play sometimes. But did you teach yourself?
Yeah, I did. Well,
uh-huh.
You see, I knew music notes and things
like that.
I could do that. I didn't have to go off and get someone else. I'd studied. Going to singing school, and I knew every sign that's put up there, and round notes are shaped notes 2 to 1.
Yeah.
the shape notes is the best. Any song that's composed with shape notes, it gives a better tone and better sing. He can tell you that.
Well, this helps you on the violin too.
Yeah, it helps
you
on anything to know music. You see.
Yeah.
You see, if I hadn't, I wouldn't known how to start to play any music. You see, by notes.
Yeah, because a lot of people play the violin just by ear.
Yeah.
My daddy used to.
Well, they give you a better musical tone than one plays by notes.
Especially
if you play by round notes.
Is that right?
If you play by shape notes, you get it. It's just like the old organ. The old fashioned organ, you know, would sound it exactly right and not wrong. And when you hit it right and match it so long, you give it the length that it belonged to be and everything. Well, when I went to Birmingham and paid $125 for an organ and got the best I had down there to learn and train my voice with, they all said, "Why didn't you pianos was out then?" I said, "I didn't want it. I didn't buy it for that." I says, "Piano on the seconds just keeps time. But organs, you can train your voice for that. You don't have to go off and take training." And you can. Old fashioned organ.
Yeah.
It sound the note just as long as you want it to sound.
Yeah.
And then it would, but pianos, you know, it don't sound long. You can't make it hold it down, make it just sound like as long as you want.
That's
it.
That's
right. Yeah. Not like an
organ. No, sir.
Did you have to pump an organ?
Yeah. Well,
you had
feet.
A bellows. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bellows.
And as long as you kept that bellows going.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Well, you see, I didn't have to. I can take a mouth organ. I can't play now because it takes a lot of wind to play a mouth organ.
Oh, does it?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I used to play anything you could just go with. I could play it by notes or play it. I could read up there and take. I could look in a song book and play a sacred song.
A mouth organ?
I've got one that's about in 26. 1926, I found my trunk and one load. I've got to go into it and check on it.
Mr.
Yeah.
Weaver, you ought to.
I've been able to bring it over here and forgotten to do it.
Could you
but
play
for you me? See, I can't play, kind of like singing. I couldn't sing anything now without making some discords in it.
Mm-hmm.
Discords, because after you get. You got to learn to sing when you're young, and you've got to do this. You after you get 40 and 50 years old, your voice begins to go back on you.
Mm.
And you can't sing it as good.
What those dances? Did you just have to hope somebody would show up that could play for you? Or
which you're playing at dances?
Well, anything, the guitar or banjo.
Well, we'd always try to have someone, get someone could play to be there, you know.
Oh.
And if we didn't have any, sometimes I'd start off, you know, and play till somebody come in, then I'd quit.
Oh, yeah.
And things like that. But those dances now, it's not like you're going around now and see, it's altogether different.
Yeah.
Of course, I know how to waltz, two-step, and all of that. And round dance too.
Mm-hmm.
And foxtrot.
Yeah.
That's a good dance. That's nearly as fast as foxtrot, and nearly as fast as old round dance.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. You see waltzing goes this way. I can't do it now, but that's the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you go that way easy. It's the slowest way of dancing they are.
Yeah.
Would you all walk to cool off a little bit?
Well, they didn't waltz. They didn't do much waltzing back at that time, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They mostly just, they wouldn't allow you to do anything much but just round, square dance. It's all those dots going to.
Yeah.
But you take, if I could see someone dance a little bit back then, I could
Mr. Weaver, where all did y'all dance over that Micanopy?
Well, we just danced one time, or once or twice out at the club.
Mm-hmm. But you went out to people's houses?
No, we didn't dance. I didn't dance in there. But I went one time out in the country here, and there's a bunch of them drinking, and a lady come out there and sold a gun on some boys that was with me out there, and good boys, too. And
but in Alabama.
I didn't like, well, say that here in Florida. Yeah. I was on the bench. I went out in the country, mm-hmm. too, then. They had them after that, but I wouldn't go to them.
But in Alabama's where you did.
Alabama's where I danced. Yeah. I danced some when I was in Tennessee up there, too. I stayed up there about 8 months in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Around, that's out there at, not Leoma, but on Lawrenceburg.
But you go to people's houses?
Yeah, they dance at people's houses there.
Just push the furniture back and...
Took everything out of the house and everything. Take it out and put it in another room or set it out, and then when the dance is over, everybody got back next, took the booms, cleaned that out, and then fix it back just as nice for it.
Oh, you mean you just emptied the place?
Yeah.
Took it outdoors?
Yeah, we could take it outdoors if it's good weather, you know, or just set it anywhere just so. If they had plenty of room, we'd put it back in the other rooms, you know.
Yeah.
And dance, but just when it got through everything, let's sweep off the floor and clean it all up, you know, and put everything back just like they wanted it.
Well, now, Ms. Gussie
said... It's different, though. Now, you take, some places where the roughnecks tries to go just like they do of anything else. They like to do at churches. Some of them try to go and get drunk and take in things. Well, that don't pay off. Nothing like that doesn't pay.
Ms. Guthrie said they danced at her house, but that didn't mean that she gave the dance. A bunch would just want to dance, and they'd let them have the house.
Well,
is that right?
That's the way they did it. Or if you all, they'd take time about, the people would take time about letting their young people come in and dance.
Yeah.
As long as they'd act right. But boy, how did they put them away mighty quick if someone got to drinking or come in and wanted to get smart.
Yeah.
They went and called them out and told them to go home. And there's any little argument, a fuss started, and then away. Broke up right quick, and they wouldn't give you nothing either. They didn't allow that. They didn't stand for that kind of stuff.
You all didn't fight much then, though, did you? You didn't have any fights, actual fights.
Well, some of them would. Some would. And but I never did get in one. Never did get in one. I backed up one of my friends, you know. The three boys got off and beat him up before they come to the dance. This fella made the remark that, see, there's some of them, there's those rough kind, you know, and they're going to be smart, you see.
Yeah.
And they'd catch one boy off with, and they'd have one larger than he was to beat him up, you know.
Yeah.
He came down there.
Oh.
And so he came there. He came around and come over where I was, my brother, oldest brother, and I was making the music, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, look at here. I looked around and so that he says to, I said, what did that? He said, Troy and Norris, and they framed up on one beat me up a while ago. I finished that out, you know, and I got up and I walked out. I said, just wait a minute. I said, we're going outside in a minute, and I'll get someone to take my place. We went out there, and he told me how they did him, you know, and everything. He said that, we'd come along, said he got to there wanting to fight, and wanted to see me fighting, and he was larger than I was, and so that they'd cut one of the other boys off before and beat him up, you know, and, so that they caught this one, and he was young, 2 years younger than I was, and smaller. Well, he weighed almost as much as I did, but wasn't. So that when I told him, I said, well, we're not going to say anything right here, but I said, that's the second time that they've done that. And I said, I said, this man's nice and giving us a date, you know, and I said, it wouldn't do for us to ruin our reputations. He wanted to get on this boy, you know.
Yeah.
If he got out of our way, he could see to keep these ovens back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And So before they got there, he began to say, he says, he told me, he says, it ain't over with. And they got to open the settle it funny, you know, and drop it like it was, and he wouldn't do it. Right on down there, and after, before they got there, he says, you can go down there and get all those damn little old weavers and bonders you want to, and says, we'll beat hell out of you just the same.
Why, Miss Weaver?
After doing him that way, you know.
Yeah.
Oh.
So when he, I said, just
that's
wait.
What they told him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Said, you just go down and get all those damn little old weavers and bonders. See, the bonders was kin to me, you see.
Yeah.
We was cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And so that this other boy was there that they'd caught off and beat up. He fought one and said he could whip him, but said the rest of them were going to come up and take and help him. And said that he just had to back off. And I didn't like it. I don't like things like that. I told him, I said, well, we'll go out there. I says, he's larger than I am. I says, let's just go out there and let him try me. And we got out there. I don't like to tell these, this is the devil's work. I don't like to talk about anything
well,
like
that's,
this.
That's the interesting part, Miss Weaver.
Well, it gives, shows you how some people are do, you know.
Yeah.
And, I told this boy, I said, let me fight him. I says, he's larger than I am, but I'm larger than you are, and I'm older than you are. No, sir, he says, I'm going with him. We couldn't keep him quiet. I was trying to, you know, I was talking, you know, trying to keep him, get him quiet, you know, and no disturbance. And well, we was out there, and he's telling me that the man that had the, was giving, letting have the dancer, he come out there, says, boy, he says, he says, I don't want no trouble here now. He says, I'm trying to be nice to you all. I says, Mr. Davis, we not going to have any trouble here. It's your place. I says, we don't even have it here. But I says, after the dance is over, I says, we'll see. We may see what they're going to do about it. And so we went on, you know, and I was keeping this boy down. I had to kind of, you know, take a little bit, I reckon you call that psychology, to keep him down because he was mad.
Yeah.
And I was trying, we couldn't afford to have any trouble there, and
yeah.
I told him we couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd want to talk to me, and he'd want me to ask God to call him out and get on right there.
Oh,
and I
you
said
mean
no.
You mean the other boys were there at the dance, too?
Yeah, they come on down there,
oh,
too, you know, and
so.
Around. So that we just went ahead, you know, and after the dance is over, I couldn't keep this boy back. I was trying to get him. I said, get quiet. I said, come on. And we got up, and he was one of the finest boys you ever seen in quiet. He said, I'm going to whip him. He didn't like that I'm framing up on him, you see. So they started there. He just walked up to him and told him to come on. They were walking on up the road there. Well, Buck and I and my brother-in-law, and we walked on up there too. And
mm-hmm.
I tried to get this boy. I said, when we get up, I said, just let him get on me. Of course, I was stronger and had a lot of experience in wrestling and boxing. I said, let him try me. No, sir. And we got up there, you know, and that boy, you never heard such begging in your life. And he talked so loud to Mr. Davis come up and ask us to go. And the rest of us just standing there, you know.
Yeah.
And
that boy's upset, wasn't he?
He'd whipped him. He'd whipped that fella, but he wouldn't fight him then. He told him, he said, you said if you go down and get all those damn little weavers and bonders, and the bonders and the other boys are waiting down there, they'll never come up there. And this other boy was, if he'd have got up there and that other fellow had come up there, because they'd have walked right into it, because they had done got one of these others off and beat him up, you know.
Mr. Weaver, I thought most of those fights that occurred like that at dances was over some girl.
Well, sometimes it did, but these boys are just all time going around
oh.
picking fights.
Yeah.
And what they done, they got one fellow off by himself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do it fair, you see.
Well,
it wasn't a whole lot larger, you see.
Yeah. That I didn't know that.
Well, you take up in Tennessee, boy, how does that back around in Tennessee up in there? Round Collinswood, mankind, you see cut places all over. Those boys back out in there, they'd put you under the jail for if you carried a gun.
Yeah.
But they'd just give them a little old sentence, you know, and a little old fine, you know, if they cut each other all to pieces with a knife. And I told him, I said, you know, I hope I don't run into none of those. I'm afraid of a knife.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they'd cut each other down and laugh about it.
I didn't know.
Gosh. That old round Collinswood in Tennessee now, down in Alabama, they fought fast.
Mm-hmm.
But where they come in, those larger ones and older ones had run over the smaller ones.
I thought it was a nigger that used a knife, Mr.
Mexicans is the worst ones they are.
Yeah.
And niggers. But up there, that's the only place I ever seen them. You take in Kentucky too, they're bad. North Carolina use a knife. Some of them up there are using bad.
Huh.
But I never did think about using a knife. And anything like that.
Now, you've done some boxing?
Yeah, I've done a little boxing. I didn't box much.
With gloves?
Huh? Boy, it's just fun. You know, if you got knocked down or knocked out, you got up and you didn't get mad.
Yeah.
Do you wear those big gloves?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Is wrestling more interesting?
Was they?
Wrestling more interesting?
The way we wrestle then, the way we wrestle now, it's killing and beating up. I don't like that. I used to like to wrestle, but of course I can't do any of it now. I used to do this, walk up to anybody and let them catch me around the neck. You had to do that. And I could throw them loose without even using a hand. But I got a whole one fella up there in Tennessee. I knew I didn't want to run into him. So the rest of them had tried it and they couldn't. Well, he was down in Alabama and he was a whole lot harder than I was, and he was much of a man. I'm not kidding you. And they made the point to get me and him together, and before I left them. I could throw all the rest of them loose, you know, that way.
Yeah.
And
when you let them get a hold of you?
Both arms. Give them, catch any hold around my neck they want and throw them loose. Me being small, that looks unreasonable. But that speed has as much to do with it as anything else.
Yeah.
All you got to do is jerk back and throw it that way, you know, and they pull back, and you can get thrown loose out of that.
You got to be fast.
And you got to have a strong neck and not be, you got to have a grip on that neck, too. That fella that I dreaded, didn't want to run into, he tore my hair loose as he went through. He tore my hair loose.
Tore your hair loose?
Yeah. So I began to want to quit that then, you know. He didn't tear it much, but he bled right smart and it sore for several days.
But you broke him loose too.
I threw him loose. I threw him loose without using the hand.
Without using your hand?
Yeah. I didn't use a hand, I just did it this way with my weight and body. See, I just stepped this way and jerked this way. As he went to pull this way, I threw that away. And when I did, I threw him out of balance. I went that way with him just as he didn't jerk back that way. Just like popping a whip, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the way you done it.
But you as quick as he was.
Now then, they'd catch me around the neck.
Don't try it on me.
Go ahead, Mr. Weaver.
Come on, I'll get a hold of him one time.
Try on Jim.
You catch him around the neck kind of way, and there went one way in the world that you could break it hardly. Pull away from him, you see, then jump and go back this way and twist the arm back around that way. And you had to be a strong neck.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet so.
And you throw him from around. That's the way I'd get loose from the cut and neck. Catch me around the neck.
How'd you get your neck strong?
Huh? Just practicing like I showed you about all of this stuff. You just do that. You see, I couldn't use myself now if I hadn't practiced all my life. I'd be paralyzed.
Yeah?
with blood clots and hardening of the arteries that I have. And
mm-hmm.
And this leg's been tied up 12 years. I can't walk with it. Have it bound, come up to my knees.
Yeah.
Hold it together.
And boxing, how come y'all to get?
I never did box very much. I'd box around and spar. You know, we learned to spar just without gloves.
Oh.
And I was working out in Birmingham, and this boy been trained for boxing, and he wanted to, they couldn't get nobody to fight him. Well, I weighed 130, and he weighed 165. Well, that's too much overweight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I says, if you want to train some, I says, I'll go ahead and box. Well, you schedule a fight, and if we'll agree, then I'll try to knock each other out. Well, I could throw them all and wrestle them, you see. They couldn't handle them wrestling. See, speed is goes as much as anything else, and not let them catch you. Never let them get one of those holes on you.
Mm-hmm.
Right across that there and right here is their nerves, and if I ever got my little arm on those nerves there and right there, I don't care how big he was, he never did get loose. You can't move hard when you get those nerves made hard there and right here.
Yeah.
See, you got to know where to catch them at.
Mm-hmm.
See, you weren't allowed to pull again the neck that way and do that.
Yeah.
You weren't allowed to catch that, you see.
Yeah.
I'd catch every one of you right there. Sure, you'd catch every one of them.
What did I use for Bill and Tucker last time, Faye?
I got you something.
Mr. Weaver, don't you remember you said Sugar Man? You better watch out if you made him mad. He'd kill you.
Oh, I say he's not afraid of you.
Yeah.
I don't mean
but it. But Mr. Boyd, his daddy, if you made him mad, he'd just fly off.
No, I don't remember saying that. If I did, you must have misunderstood it. Mr. Boyd, of course, after he got old, you know, that's about the only thing he could do, just like I am now. Someone says anything to me, the best thing me to do is just walk off and take it. Because I'm not in no shape for doing anything now. I can show you how that I used to do, but for me to do.
Yeah.
And then my heart goes bad on me now. If I was to get mad, I'm liable to fall out quick.
Well, I know, but Mr. Boyd had a reputation for a long time of being a pretty tough customer.
He did.
That's my understanding.
I know Mr. Boyd was always, I don't think he's a scary man back when he's young, but I don't think Mr. Boyd was scary.
Come around and put it on.
But Mitchell now, he don't get mad easy. And you go any time of night and he'll get up and do you a favor.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want him to get mad at me. You can look at his eyes when he's mad and tell that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Look at his eyes?
Yeah, I can look at your eyes and tell what you're going to do if you're mad. I want to show you a little trick how you sport. I'm not going to hit you.
I hope not.
No, turn around this way. Turn up like this now. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do now when I if I was going to hit you now?
I duck.
Look, yeah, but you're too late
today.
Hold your hand up now. Okay. You don't even rub it now. Let me show you something.
Okay.
And you can catch right around and hit your neck.
Yeah,
you do it with your shoulders this way.
Oh,
yeah.
Instead, like that.
See, if you hit with your hand, you don't get no pressure. Your strength's in your shoulder. You can take 8 inches and knock a man 4 meters over yonder just an 8-inch jab if you use it. Use your body and your shoulder.
Oh.
Don't you see them look like that they didn't hardly hit a fella when he fought in boxing?
Yeah.
You see, most of the time now you don't hit, you just let your hand, you don't hit hard,
mm-hmm.
You hit light.
Yeah.
You see, there are one way that you come in this way, you throw your hand this way, just as they throw the guard up, they'll throw the guard up this way, if you go throw it this way, you see. Well, you just come by the hand right back into the jaw that way, then hard right back to the jaw that way.
Mr. Weaver,
that's
where
I like
them boys at the dance, you see, they outnumbered this fella. They just wanted to rub him up a little bit. But they wasn't mad.
Oh, they just wanted to beat him up.
Yeah.
Be bullies, you know. That's what they call there's being bullies, you know.
Yeah.
Sort of fine, though.
For them.
No, well, it was for them to catch one out, but if when it come to a fair test, they wasn't in it, then they'd back down.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's what they had all the boys nearly mad at them about that.
Well, they never tried to catch you like that?
No, I could out run them.
Oh, Mr. Weaver.
But most of this stuff, you see, y'all could just about disfigure each other, and still you wouldn't be mad.
Oh, a boxing and wrestling, you don't get mad. If he hurts you, you don't get mad at that.
Yeah.
That's what we always played, you know. We didn't get mad. We wrestled. I've had him hold me down for 30 minutes nearly. And everybody said I couldn't get up with him. We couldn't get up. Well,
yeah.
I wouldn't give up. And
yeah.
It'd be maybe weigh 10 pounds, and I'd be about that high,
Yeah.
Maybe 10 pounds more than I did and 2 years older.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just stay on that. Well, you see, I wouldn't smoke. Never drank. I didn't smoke and didn't drink.
You never even drunk that corn whiskey?
No, I never. My mother and dad didn't allow that.
Yeah.
There wasn't no corn whiskey in the house. And we wasn't brought up to do that.
Yeah.
Now, my brother up here drinks a lot of beer. Did. He's quit now, but he waited too long to quit. He ought to quit long ago. You don't.
But he wasn't brought up drinking it.
No, sir. He sure wasn't. Now, on Christmas, someone to take one or two drinks, but somebody ever made a little bit wrong, mother'd say, that's it.
Is that right?
And dad'd say, dad'd tell them the same thing, break up.
Is that right?
And that's the way I was brought up. I wasn't brought up to be out in the roughneck place. If I hadn't run into them, you know, or see someone running over, I couldn't help them, helping the ones that needed it.
Yeah.
And things like that, but for me to get out and start in a scrap. Someone says something that I don't like, I just shut up and turn the walk off.
Oh, you do?
That's the best way to do it.
Oh.
Well, those two fellas you gave a ride in the car, you sound like you're about ready to fight with them.
Which one?
You mean the ones you told me coming over here that you picked up on the road?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, anything like that, that's a different thing. I'd picked up two hitchhikers, and they got talking over the just before I got there, and they kept going in where I went, you know. And to Tallahassee, and I'd got up in Dothan, Alabama. And so just before we got up there, you see, it's kind of getting dark, you know, and going to driving up in the T-model, and they went to talking over the hands, and I was watching them all the time, you see. And so that I went on out there, and as soon as I got up to the service station, you know, I got out and told him I was going to see this man here. I may stop over, you know.